All right, Alexander, let's talk about Italy. Let's do an update as to what's going on in Italy. It looks like Draghi has got his government. He's now leading Italy. Salvini's fallen in line with Draghi as well. And it's very odd to see Draghi as the leader of Italy. Very odd indeed. Very laughable to a certain degree as well, and terrifying. But we did a couple of videos on a lot of videos on Italy, and we documented the rise of Salvini, how Draghi got to where he is, and everything that's going on in Italy. And we saw that Salvini's support of the Draghi government would cost him a lot of political capital, and we also wondered why he would do it. And it looks like we have some more clarity as to why he may be supporting Draghi, number one, but also it seems to be very clear now that Salvini has lost a lot of support. And that support, according to a Financial Times article that you sent me, that support seems to be moving towards the Brothers Party. The title of the Financial Times article says that Matteo Salvini's hardcore supporters lose faith in their capitano. So, I mean, I guess you could say it's bad news all around for Salvini, but also bad news for the EU and their puppet Draghi, because the last thing they want to see happen is all of that Lega support that was under Salvini now go even more right to the Brothers Party. And the Brothers will capitalize on this. So, what's the latest from Italy?
Absolutely, this is exactly what's going to happen. Now let's take a few steps back. I mean, Draghi, who was, as we know, the arch technocrat, the person who studied in the United States in all the Ivy League universities there, who came to Europe, ran the European Central Bank, said what he would do, whatever it takes to save the euro, is in fact, for many people, Mr. Euro, the person who broke all the EU laws about, the European Central Bank not buying government bonds. He committed the European Central Bank to buying government bonds, especially in Italy, keeping Italy afloat through basically printing money, and at the same time put the screws very ferociously on Greece when Greece looked as if it was going to step out of line. So this is the man who is more than anyone else, perhaps in Italy, identified with the European system. And we have this orchestrated attempt in Italy now to present him as the great economic genius, the wizard and messiah, who's going to solve all of Italy's problems, lead Italy out of its long years of economic stagnation and immobilism, which have left Italy with structurally high unemployment and low and stagnant wages. Though nobody seems to know what exactly it is that Draghi is going to do, which is going to achieve this miracle result. And the person who, for all that time, has stood out and has been the most clear-cut and vocal opponent of everything that Draghi stands for and Draghi has done, Matteo Salvini, has now gone into the government. In effect, is supporting Draghi, is basically become the person who's propping up Draghi in the Italian Parliament and in the Chamber of Deputies and in all those things. And this, of course, has caused astonishment amongst many of Salvini's supporters, and the Financial Times article which I sent you reproduces the feelings of shock and disappointment and indeed bafflement that many of these people feel about the way in which Salvini has reversed himself and reversed himself so completely. Well, we do now know some of the reasons why this happened. And it turns out that Salvini came under intense pressure from many of the Northern League's financial backers, who are various industrial and financial groups and business people, oligarchs, if you like, in Northern Italy, who do not really want to see Italy leave the euro. They seem to have been happy to bankroll Salvini for all kinds of reasons, but they never really wanted him to take that great step, that great leap towards breaking with the euro, which he was talking about. And they put enormous pressure on him. And apparently there were threats that if he didn't do that, if he didn't back Draghi in this situation, they would not only withdraw support, but the League itself would splinter. They would set up breakaway groups that would support Draghi and which would, in effect, consolidate the position of Draghi, but with Salvini being left outside. So rather than do that, rather than quarrel with these big, powerful industrial groups in northern Italy, Salvini went along with them and backed Draghi. Now, in my opinion, this is a huge political mistake going forward, because on the one hand, we've seen the fact that Salvini has lost support and the League is losing support, and this support is shifting to the brothers. The Financial Times, which, to be very clear, is an ardently pro-EU, ardently pro-globalist newspaper, is trying to understate the extent to which Salvini and the League are losing support and the brothers are growing. They come up with all kinds of opinion polls which they say show that most people are standing by Salvini. I'll say straight away, I would take those polls, all of those opinion polls, with deep scepticism. We've seen what polls are like in the United States. We saw them in Britain over Brexit. We see them again in Italy. They consistently overstate the support of people who support the globalist parties and the globalist shifts and the pro-EU positions and all those things, and understate the support of its opponents. I think we're going to see the League over the next few months, weeks and months, hollowed out. And the reason we're going to see that happening, and of this I have no doubt whatsoever, is that Draghi cannot achieve this tremendous breakthrough in Italy that people seem to be talking about, because it cannot be done as long as Italy remains in the euro. I mean, to me, this is the obvious point that many people simply refuse to understand, or at least many people in Italy, these middle class people in Italy and Greece and Spain and all of these countries who are happy and accustomed to use the euro because they still see the euro as some kind of, you know, secure, stable currency, more stable than the lira or the drachma or the peso. They won't or refuse to understand that ultimately it is dooming their countries to perpetual economic stagnation. I think the number of people who think like that may be slowly diminishing, but there are still enough of them to make a lot of noise. And of course, the big oligarchical industrial financial groups, which we've just been talking about, support those views. So I think that Draghi is going to fail. And when he fails, Salvini will be left hanging out to dry, because he broke with his previous commitments to lead Italy out of this trap. He has supported the person who embodies the trap more than anyone else for Italians. And when Draghi fails, which he will, Salvini will not, I think, be in any position to explain to the Italian people why he reversed himself in the way that he did. And you're perfectly correct. What is going to happen increasingly is that just as support for the five-star movement, the left-wing party, which took Eurosceptic positions, rose when they stuck to those positions and fell when they went into government with the Democratic Party and Matteo Renzi and followed a pro-EU line. Indeed, the Five Star League is now in the verge of total disintegration. So I predict the same will happen to Salvini and the League, and we will see whether the Brothers of Italy, which is positioning itself as a more right-wing, more anti-EU party than Salvini's, whether that will rise in consequence. I predict it will, and I predict, and you're absolutely right about this, that this will be a much more difficult party for the EU and the oligarchical elite in Italy to swallow and absorb than Salvini and the League have been. So that's, I'm afraid, the contours of Italian politics at the moment. Salvini has given this thing a further period of life, which many people had expected and assumed he would not do. But at the end of the day, it's what has been said by so many people, and it remains true. What is unsustainable cannot be sustained, at least not indefinitely. Keeping this thing going, keeping Italy in this trap, is going to squeeze and suffocate Italy even more. It's going to create more misery and more pain for the Italian people and for the people across southern Europe. When it fails, it will fail, which it will. It will become absolutely clear that all these losses that have been endured were endured for nothing. But unfortunately, it seems that Salvini is not the person many people expected who would finally end this thing and take Italy out of this trap that it has been led by its elite into.
Right, so Salvini folded, and Italy is now firmly in the hands of Draghi and the oligarchs, and it will fail, but I mean, it's going to fail for the Italian people. Yes. Not, it's not going to fail for the oligarchs, the globalists, you know, the people in Italy with the real money and the real power. They want this thing going as long as possible. And Salvini, you know, played along with it. Yes. And so if you say that, then you also have to say that, you know, Salvini is, I don't want to say like paid opposition. I mean, he wasn't the populist leader that we thought he was. At least that's what it looks like. I don't know. I'm listening to you. I'm reading the news coming out of Italy. I'm seeing what he did by supporting Draghi and why he supported Draghi. And I say, okay, so he wasn't the leader that Italy needed. He's now, when Draghi's government does fail, because it will, I agree, it's going to fail, as everything the EU does fails. You know, that government's going to fail. Salvini won't be able to run Italy. The brothers will be strengthened, but it won't be strong enough to hold a majority or to cobble together some sort of coalition to run government. So you're just going to fall right back down to the Renzi type of leaders once again in Italy. The EU puppets again are just going to they're going to form some sort of coalition again, and it'll drag Italy, you know, down the pit for another 2-3 years, and it'll keep the thing rolling for another 2-4 years until the globalists eventually get their Klaus Schwab, you know, Great Reset, wet dream in action. I mean, that's the only reason I could see you know them dragging this on is they want as much life as they can get out of this until, you know, they move over to the next phase of whatever their grand vision is. The Italian people lose, but you know, EU oligarchs and the Brussels technocrats and, you know, all these people, the Gateses of the world and the Italian Gateses, they all win. And Salvini is one big bust. Is that what I'm taking away from this?
Yes, I have to say this. I mean, this was a major test of leadership for Salvini. Obviously, he was coming under all this pressure from all these business people, all these, if you like, oligarchical people in the north of Italy. That's what the Financial Times says. And yes, he was facing threats of splits within the Northern League. If he had been a leader, a real leader, he would have called the bluff of all of these people. He would have said to them, look, if you want to go, go. Set up your own parties. Go and support Draghi. Draghi is the embodiment of everything which we have opposed. If you want to sell your soul by leaving the league, breaking with the league and supporting him, that's your business. You can do it. It's fine. I, however, will stand firm according to my beliefs and my promises to the Italian people, and I will oppose this thing. Had Salvini done that when this thing failed, which it will fail, he would have been in pole position to make the most of it, to say, I am absolutely uncompromised. I told you that this would fail. I told you that Draghi is not the man, the economic messiah. You're all being told he is. There's no real solutions to these problems. On the contrary, he is the problem. He and people like him are the problem. They are the reason why Italy is in the terrible position that it is in. He could have done that, and I'm afraid he failed. Now, that prospect that you were setting out, which is Draghi fails, government reverts to the Matteo Renzi's, the Democratic Party, all of those sort of people, I'm afraid that is the real prospect now. I mean, it's Salvini, by what he has just done, has given this elite, if you like, a lease of life in Italy of at least 5 years and perhaps more than that. Because to be very clear, the League now, the Northern League, is deeply demoralised, and it's going to take a very, very long time before the brothers achieve that kind of political strength and critical mass in Italy to represent a real challenge to the system. I mean, it will take more than one election. And of course, there'll be lots of attempts to slow this process down as long as possible. And yes, there are some people who are going to do very well out of this. I mean, it's important to say that the richer you are beyond a certain point within Italy, and depending obviously also on the sort of business you run, you do very well out of the euro system. So there are people like that, you know, the oligarchical class, if you like, who do very well out of the system that exists at the moment. And they're very vocal, and they control much of the media, as they do in most countries. And they are the people who get their words across, and they have the support of the banking elites and of the civil service elites and all of those things. So those people exist. They're very happy with the situation. They don't care if lots of people in southern Italy are out of work. They don't care if, you know, most of the middle class is seeing its incomes decline. That isn't their concern. They themselves are doing very well. And yes, they also want to see and hope that by buying this more time, by bringing Draghi in as prime minister, by getting Salvini to support him, they're hoping that they will be able to complete, if you like, this great model of the future that they're looking towards. What I think they're far more likely to do is, by delaying the inevitable collapse, they are going to make that collapse greater and much more traumatic than it would have otherwise been. That is what always happens in the end. When you run out of road, you run out of road. You find that you are actually driving over the cliff edge, and there is only one way at that point, and that way is down. So I think we've talked about, you know, the Klaus Schwab, you know, vision of the future, and we've agreed, and we've discussed it with many others, and we know lots of other people think the same. Lots of very serious people, economists and academics, think this is completely unworkable model for the future. It's not based on any real understanding of economics. It's not based on any real understanding of human society, or even of technology and of how technology really works. So this is not a vision of the future. It's a dystopia, and they're never going to achieve it. But by prolonging it all the time in the way that they are doing, they are simply guaranteeing that the end, when it comes, will be a catastrophic one. Whereas if they did it now, there would still have been a chance to make it a much more orderly one. And that's, I think, the danger that we are facing now.
Yeah, I mean, unless their goal is to make it a catastrophic end. I mean, that could be
Well,
their goal. But what do
when
you
I
make of the
when I said a catastrophic one, I meant a catastrophic one which brings them down. It was merely disastrous one, which we would have now, if you like. Because, I mean, you know, to be clear, if you break up the euro now, it would be orderly, but it would be disastrous in the short term for many people. That would be one way. But, you know, other things, a mere disaster, they could survive. They could actually benefit and exploit, like they have the financial crisis and the pandemic crisis and those crises. But when I talk about a catastrophe, I mean a systems collapse. And I mean, that isn't something that these people would enjoy at all.
Yeah, well, maybe not. I don't know. There's such psychopaths. Maybe they would. What do you make of the
Well,
argument
some of them
that,
might.
what do you make of the argument that Salvini is two arguments, one that just came to mind. One argument is that he's in such a tough spot that he had no choice because he has these court cases, and he has all this legal stuff, and he may want to try to keep the party together, so he doesn't have much of a choice. Let's throw that argument out there, number one. And the second argument is that he's trying to change things from the inside. In other words, play ball for now in order to try and get Italy to a better position working inside the government or alongside supporting the government than to go against the government. What do you make of those two arguments? In Salvini's benefit. In Salvini's benefit.
Let's take them both, because I'm sure if you know we he was with us, you know, on this program, maybe not on this program, but you know, if we had him in a private discussion, that's exactly what he would be telling us. I'm sure that is how he is explaining things to people around him, to people who are contacting him, who are expressing their alarm and their disappointment. He's saying, you know, if I take the line that you're taking and I see the league collapse and I see financial support for it withdrawn and I'm facing all these legal proceedings, if I take that step, we will be crushed, and at that point we will have achieved nothing. And we will lose every opportunity to shape things in the future. I'm sure that's what he's saying. And, you know, I understand that argument. And there are many, many circumstances when I would agree with it. I mean, I'm not a doctrinaire person. I don't ask or expect of people to do the impossible. But I think in this situation in Italy, when many, many people, not many, many, many people, millions upon millions, tens of millions of people are suffering very badly and have been suffering for a very long time, I think that is actually ultimately a weak argument. A leader who is prepared to compromise in that way forfeits the right on the part of those people who are suffering to be called a leader at all. Because, yes, they will say, obviously, you're going to go through many problems. Obviously, you're facing legal proceedings. Definitely, your party's going to collapse. Definitely, there's going to be more stress on you from the financial oligarchs who are going to withdraw their support, which no doubt was always very, very conditional. But ultimately, what it proves is that you are not speaking for us, and that when it comes down to it, you are prepared to keep faith to the extent that you can with your oligarchs rather than with us when you are faced with this kind of decision and with this sort of crisis. There is a famous quote by a French Prime Minister, Pierre Mendès France, who once said, "To govern is to choose. If you're not able to choose, then you cannot govern, and you will lose support in consequence." Another quote by another French leader is Napoleon, by the way, "If you want to take Vienna, take Vienna." In other words, if you decide that you're going to set yourself an objective, you must pursue it with single-minded focus. If you let yourself get diverted along the way, if you look at, you know, all kinds of ways round, you won't take Vienna. You won't achieve your objective. And that brings me to your second point, which is that, you know, he's going to try and say, or perhaps, no doubt he thinks this himself, if he is inside the government, then he can do all kinds of things. He could perhaps even try and undermine it a bit from within. The consistent lesson from anybody who tries to work with the European Union in that way is that you don't actually undermine the system from within. They absorb you. That's what happened to Syriza in Greece. That's what's happened to Podemos in Spain. That's what's happened to the Five Star League in Italy. That's what's going to happen, I predict, to Salvini also. It's people like, sorry to bring him up again, Nigel Farage, who refuse to compromise, Viktor Orban, who refuse to compromise, who ultimately end up becoming stronger. This attempt to work with the system never in the end works.
All right, we'll leave it there and we'll continue to follow this story. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much, guys. Look for us on Odyssey, on BitChute, and on Rumble. We have channels there. Look for Alexander's channel links down below. Look for my channel links down below. PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, Bitcoin, Litecoin, Ethereum, Monero. You'll find all those links to all those coins down below. That really helps out this channel a lot. And what else? Durant Shop. Pick up some
merch.
Hoodies, mugs. Nice. And of course, also check out our sponsor. You'll find the link down below for this video, which is Greek Travel Gurus. And they've got all your travel needs taken care of for Greece. 10% off a planning fee and 20% off your selection of a private tour when you use the code DuranGreeceTrip. All the information is down below, including a link to their website. The best part about Greek Travel Gurus, Alexander, is that it is all risk-free. So even if a day before your trip, something happens with the thing and the lockdown and all these four or five masks that we may have to be wearing and 10 different passports, and something happens with your trip, don't worry about it. You are covered with Greek Travel Gurus. All the information is down below, Alexander.
Indeed so. And can I just say, I mean, this is also a bespoke service. It's the best way to see Greece if you want, depending on what kind of holiday you want. If you want to go to Mykonos and, you know, enjoy the things there, they will arrange that. If you're interested in classical, you know, archaeological sites, if you want to see, you know, the labyrinth in Knossos or the Parthenon in Athens or Delphi or Olympia and all those places, or Mount Olympus, you can do that too. If you want to, you know, enjoy the extraordinary Greek countryside, you can see that. If you want to spend a great time on the beach and get to learn about, you know, the amazing tavernas and, you know, food that there is there, that's, they can arrange all those things. So they are the perfect people to arrange your holiday. And as Alex said, you are secure when you work through them. And the link is provided at the bottom. And it's, if you're interested in a holiday in Greece, they're definitely the people to go to.
All right. And the Durant Shop, guys. You'll find the link.
Of course. Of course. And all our wonderful things on the Durant Shop. Our mugs, our shirts, our hats, our hoodies, our sweatshirts, and the rest.
All right. Take care, everybody.